Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Stage of Place, with me, your host, Elliot Shepherd. How are we all doing? We're currently in week 7 now of isolation, and I hope that these past 5 weeks of listening to this series has given you a little insight with our guests, and has helped you keep a foot into the industry. And who knows, maybe you've even found some of the conversations so interesting that you might even consider a career in them. In this week's episode, I was joined over Skype by Sarah Wells, who runs Thrifty Theatre, a blog transmitted onto Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, as well as at thriftytheatre.uk. The blog covers news and reviews from the heart of London and further outreach, most notably from last year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival, to which Sarah was joined by another Stagey Place guest, Tiffany Winters, from way back in episode 3. I had a really lovely chat with Sarah, and I cannot wait for you to hear what we discussed. So, let's get on with the show. After working in a call centre for years, today's guest ditched the phones and moved to London to work in theatre. Now working in the box office around the heart of the West End, she runs Thrifty Theatre as a theatre blogger and reviewer, as well as having completed an internship in production assistance and theatre press, alongside continuing to work in PR to help promote Fringe Theatre and off-West End venues. Sarah Wells, welcome to The Stagey Place.
Thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting.
No, thank you, Sarah, for agreeing to do this. I'm really excited. I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation.
Hopefully. I don't know how interesting I am, but I'll give it a go.
Of course. So every week then I've started off just by asking guests how they're doing currently in isolation. Obviously you work in box office, so you're working from home currently doing refunds and, you know, exchanges. What is the difference then? How are you feeling being at home but still working?
It is weird because ultimately my job is about customers, and right now I don't have any customers, and it's just trying to find stuff to do when there's no show, there's no customers. So it's difficult, but it's just trying to spread out the days and trying to find things to do. And we're doing a lot of self-development at the moment, so courses and things like that, which is great for me because I love to learn. So very excited about having the chance to do some courses and stuff.
And so what courses have you managed to be doing during this time then?
So I want to develop skills in things like marketing. I've no idea how to do marketing really at all. I want to learn a bit more about PR. I want to do some courses in video editing. I want to do some courses in podcasting. So I do plan on being very, very busy. Very, very busy.
Yeah, of course. And obviously your job would be, you know, getting up and going into a venue to go to work as box office. Now you're just getting up out of bed and using your laptop to work. So how does that feel, doing all of that change?
Yeah, I've gone from an hour's commute into London every day to not. I've been getting up at half 8 instead of like 7, which is lovely. But I haven't had to get work clothes on, and I haven't had to put any makeup on, and it is weird. It's a weird adjustment, and now I don't know what London looks like, and I won't know what London looks like possibly for months. So it's weird.
Yeah, of course. And with all that money that you're saving, it means that you get to put it into something else, like shopping or any of the courses that you may need to pay for. So, you know, I guess it's really cool.
Yeah, I plan to put a little theatre fund, so when everything's back up and running, I'm going to spend a lot of money at the theatre.
And obviously you see quite a lot of theatre, so has there been a lot of refunds that you've had to get back yourself for any exchanges for future shows?
I've got a handful. I'm not really much of a pre-booker. I tend to book nearer to the time, so I don't have many. I did have 101 Dalmatians at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre booked. That's been rescheduled to next year. Orpheus, a house musical at the Young Vic. I got a credit note for that because I don't know if that's going to happen now. I've got a few, I'm waiting on a few responses from a few things, but I just don't want to overload the box offices with my queries because I work in box office, so I understand how it feels. So
yeah,
waiting for them to contact me, but I've maybe got like 3 or 4 shows, so there's not too many.
Yeah, I had a email from the Boulevard Theatre in London. I had a credit note for Lucy Prebble's The Effect. Basically, it was meant to be on around this time of the year, And then I got a further email saying that because of the uncertainty, they had to move it back completely until next year. So my credit note has been extended a little bit further. But that piece, Lucy Prebble, The Effect, I saw years ago for A-levels in Cheltenham, and done by a school, and it was amazing. It's a really good play about the placebo effect and two young teenagers who take it and their different side effects. So yeah, if you manage to get a chance to, definitely make a note of that and write that down and try and get into that one.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. So let's travel back then. We've gone into the present, and now let's go back into the past. And can you tell us then how you got into theatre? Was this from a young age? Was this at school? How did it all come about?
Such a good question, because it's really hard to remember when. So I grew up in a small village in the middle of nowhere. My local theatre was an hour and a half away in Bristol. Big up to Bristol.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember watching live theatre. It was more just films. So I watched like film, like Chicago and Hairspray. And I think High School Musical was probably one of my first biggest introductions to like musical theatre. But I was in a theatre group from a young age, and I don't really remember why I joined. I think I joined because my friend joined, and yeah. I quite liked singing there. So I joined a theatre group, and then I was in that for a couple of years, not for very long. I didn't really like the performing bit. I just liked the rehearsals and that fun stuff. At school, I didn't have drama or anything like that, so it wasn't really an option until I got to like GCSE level. And I got to GCSE level, and it was suddenly became an option in my school, and I was like, oh, I think I want to give that a go, because I quite like films, and I quite like a musical film, so maybe I'll give it a go. And then suddenly I just thought, oh my God, all these plays and all these musicals and all these things suddenly just came into my life. So I actually didn't really get into theatre and musical theatre until I was probably year 10 at secondary school. So it's quite late. I was quite late joining the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So what you've just said there then about movie musicals, then you've spoken about Chicago and High School Musical. What would you say then is your favourite movie musical?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Without doubt. So Chicago was the first, I think my nan bought it for me, if I remember rightly. I'm pretty sure that my nan bought it for me, and only because it had Renee Zellweger in it. She said, oh, I think you'll like it because she's in it. And I was like, okay. And I honestly, I think I watched it over and over and over and over again for about a year. I actually couldn't get enough. I watched it constantly. And I just had never seen singing, dancing and acting in a film before. Just hadn't. And I must have been quite young though. It's quite a raunchy musical. So that's 100%, without doubt, my favourite musical movie of all time. And then my second one would be Sweeney Todd.
Oh, okay. Is that the Johnny Depp version? Is there only been one version of Sweeney Todd?
I don't know. Maybe. There might be more than one, but it's the Johnny Depp one.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I just think, again, I did the same thing. I bought it and just watched it over and over and over and over again. From being kind of like nothing at all to everything. And then when I went to college, I wanted to do musical theatre or performing arts. But I'd never danced before, but I liked singing. I was like, I can hold a note. I quite like singing. I like a bit of acting, but I don't think I can dance at all. So I thought I'll give performing arts a go. And it honestly felt like Fame, the music, like the film.
Oh, okay. In which college was this then? Where did you attend to?
Bridgewater in Somerset.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, so very different to Bristol. And I absolutely loved my time at college. Yes, I did singing lessons and choir, and I absolutely loved. All of a sudden, I've heard about like all these big musicals. Like I'd never even heard of things like Oklahoma. I'd never heard of like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. All those like really early on musicals that everybody knows about. I didn't watch The Sound of Music until I was 18. I just didn't know anything about it. In my little village, nobody was into it. But yeah, so I got into things in college, and then from there, it just kind of became more of an obsession, I would say.
Yeah.
So in college then, did you ever go to see any shows that kind of inspired you to want to get into the industry then?
Yes. So I saw my first West End. Well, not my first. Well, the national. The first time I went to the National Theatre.
Yeah.
I saw War Horse. So it's my first ever live stage production. There wasn't a musical. I'd seen a few musicals, but it was my first ever play. And I think I'm pretty sure I just cried. I just thought it was just so amazing. I think I just cried all the way through it.
That actually goes back to what you were saying earlier on about your favourite musical being Chicago. And watching it over and over again, I used to watch War Horse, like, you know, weeks on end. Like, it was just amazing. I loved everything about it. And Steven Spielberg did an incredible job with it. And then the stage version, yeah, I saw it at the New London Theatre, which is now the Gillian Lynn, which School of Rock was just in. That moment where little Joey becomes big Joey, I will never forget that moment in theatre. It's one of the earliest memories I have. And it was just so beautiful and so, you know, overwhelmed with emotion, I think. Yeah, just phenomenal. So then when that movie came out, I remember going straight from secondary school to Cheltenham to the Cineworld to go and see it, and I was in a screen full of like over 50s. I was genuinely like the youngest person in the screen, and it was quite funny. But yeah, that was a moment that I'll never forget in movie and, you know, and in stage adaptation. So then when the DVD came out, yeah, I was just watching it day after day after day, you know, for genuinely, I think, for weeks on end. Like, it became an obsession, and, you know, I'd still get it out now, and I'd still consider it one of my favourite movies of all time. Because I really think that it really captures the stage adaptation, and even the book. I've got an illustrationed book, and it's just, yeah, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, see, I never read the book, but now I've only recently got into reading, so I have now also got a reading list of books, like War Horse is one. I want to read the Dear Evan Hansen book, so yeah, I'm trying to play catch up on all those things I didn't do when I was younger.
Yeah.
So late to the game, I'm trying to just catch up all the time, it feels.
Yeah, so after college then, you were doing a lot of, like I say, you were doing a lot of musical theatre. So what then happened after college? How did you progress into the industry?
So I had a gap year, not because I went travelling, but because I worked, because I couldn't afford to go to university. So I then went to uni after my gap year, and I did just straight acting because I couldn't dance and I hated dance. I couldn't bear the thought of going into another dance lesson, feeling uncomfortable, couldn't bear it. So yeah. I did straight acting at uni and I went to Bristol UWE, not the good one. I went to Bristol UWE and I just thought I really want to be in theatre, but I don't want to act. I hate acting. I'm not good at it. It's uncomfortable. But I just didn't know what else there was. So I joined the Drama Society and I did a production of The Importance of Being Earnest. And I played Cecily, which was really exciting. But I just thought, I just really wasn't comfortable being on the stage. I didn't look forward to the performances. I couldn't wait for them to be over. And I just thought, oh, but I don't really know what else there is to do. So I'll just do this. And then I'll try and be an actor. And then this was, you know, pure ignorance, now knowing how incredibly difficult it is an actor in this industry. So I just thought, oh, I'll just go off to London and I'll just be an actor and I'm sure it'd be really easy. How dumb. So I left uni and thought, oh, well, I don't really prove myself. So I just got a job in a call centre and I just kind of accepted fate that I was going to work in a call centre for the rest of my life. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll go to the Bristol Hippodrome and I'll watch the big musicals and then that'll be the end of it. Until my boyfriend, who moved to London before me, he then said, oh, it's great here, come and join me. And I was like, oh, I don't know, I like my little cushy life in London, in Bristol. And then I moved to London and then that was literally it. It all kicked off massively from there. I did an awful data entry job, which I hated so much. And I started volunteering at the Actors' Church in Covent Garden.
Okay. What do they do at the Actors' Church?
So they do open air performances. It's probably a little bit different now, but so they did a production of Macbeth. They normally do a Shakespeare show, and then they normally do a kids show. So they did Macbeth and Hansel and Gretel. And I volunteered as front of house. Which, I mean, I did a bit of voluntary work at theatres in Bristol when I was at uni, but in general, I'd never really done that sort of thing before. And I mainly did it so I could make some friends. I didn't have any friends when I first moved to London. So I volunteered the Actors' Church. And then from there, I thought maybe I could actually get a job in theatre. Like, maybe I don't have to work in a call centre and and then I have to work in data entry. So I'd just been to see the comedy about a bank robbery.
There we go, right.
I loved that show. I wonder if they've got any vacancies, and they had a box office job. And I thought, I don't even know what a box office does. Like, what does that mean? So I applied for the job. I went for the interview, and my boss didn't call me for a week. So right. I was like, yeah, I haven't got this job. There's no way. And my boss just basically took pity on me, even though I had no prior experience. I didn't really know what I was applying for. I was the only person in the job interview that said I didn't want to be an actor, which is why I was the only person. And then I got the job, and I was like, oh my God, I love this job. Are you joking? This is fun. All I do is talk about theatre all day. It's literally a dream job. And then kind of from there, everything has progressed.
So you really did work from the ground up then in terms of box office. Yeah. And even though you had, but obviously you had that experience through call centres, so you were okay with talking through people on the phone then, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, very easy. And also before that, I worked at a holiday park, and I used to check customers into their caravans. So I was fine with customers. I was fine over the phone. And also with emails, like, it's basically just what I'd already done in all my other jobs. I just merged it all into one. But it was about something I cared about. Suddenly it was like, oh, instead of talking about things I don't actually care about Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I'm now talking about something I really, really care about. Plus I get to like watch the show, and I get to talk to people after the show. And yeah, it just became like, oh, I can do admin-y based roles in the theatre. I didn't know. I had no idea.
And I just want to quickly go back to what you were saying about in the interview room. You said that you were the only person who didn't want to be an actor. So was that a question that they put forward to applicants?
Yes. And I can see why now, because box office and front of house are very closely related. A lot of people who do front of house do tend to be actors. There are other people as well, but they do tend to be actors. A lot of like that kind of thing of, oh, I'm an actor part-time, or like want to be an actor, but right now I'll just work at the box office just to get a bit of cash. But it's not great for the box office staff, because it means then people are coming in and out all the time, and box office isn't quite as flexible as front of house. You do have a set. It's more like a 40-hour week job instead of just a full job to pick up cash here and there. So yeah, so it was one of the questions, and I didn't know why they're asking. I didn't think anything of it at the time, and now in hindsight I totally understand why, because a box office job is like, there is a reasonable amount to learn, like not loads and loads to learn, but it is easier to just have one person there all the time. Whereas for house, it's much more casual, it's way more flexible, and it's way more suitable for people who are just picking up cash in between acting jobs.
And have you ever been on box office and you've worked with front of house, and then they went off to, because they got an acting job in another theatre. Have you ever gone to support them? Has that ever happened to you?
I try and watch absolutely everybody I know. And I try and sit, not on the front row because that's distracting, but maybe like the third row. And then I try and like see them afterwards if I can. And it makes me so proud when I see my friends in shows, because I just think, oh my gosh, acting is so hard. Like, well done. It's amazing.
Have you ever had any starstruck moments where people have come to pick up tickets and you've recognised them from the TV or from theatre?
Such a good question. Yes. Okay, so to name a few, Neil Patrick Harris.
Amazing.
Really cool. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
We had Ian McKellen, Helen Mirren, and Kathy Burke. Kathy Burke came in. I mean, obviously everyone else is also amazing, but I was really blown away by Kathy Burke. I don't know why. I just thought, oh my God, it's Kathy Burke in the
building. Yeah.
We had, I mean, my first ever encounter. So I didn't know what to expect. I hadn't lived in London very long. I hadn't worked in theatre very long. So I didn't know what the etiquette was around if a famous person comes in, what I do. So I kind of just was under the assumption that I was supposed to just act like they weren't there and just carry on as normal, which is the right thing to do because you want to be respectful. But my first ever encounter with a celebrity was Rainn Wilson from The American Office.
Right.
I know. So I love The American Office. Me and my brother love The American Office. It's probably one of my favourite series of all time. we watched it, like, again, I do get a bit obsessed. I watch things over and over. So we watched it over and over. And I didn't put two and two together. Because he's American. We find that a lot of American customers, they do just put their IDs down. I don't know why. Maybe they have to do that in America. But they just put their IDs down when they collect their tickets. So I saw the ID and I saw the name and I went, oh, I recognise that name. And I looked up and I was like, it's Dwight Schrute. I couldn't even hold my, like, of all the people I could have met the first time, why did it have to be him?
Yeah.
I couldn't even talk to him. I was all over the place. And then I tried to just keep him with me because I thought, oh my God, do I ask him how he is? Like, what do I ask him for a picture? What is the proper etiquette? I lost my mind. And when I gave him his tickets and he went away, I sat on the box office floor and couldn't, like, catch my breath. And my body, like, have you just passed out? And I was like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. It's Rainn Wilson. So that was unbelievable. It was amazing. So that was my first ever encounter. And since then, like, quite a few have happened, which it's still exciting and it's still, you know, unbelievable. But equally, I've now got a bit more of a tolerance for it. I try to be as respectful as possible. But it is really cool. I still think it's really cool.
Now, obviously, you've said that you go to see as much theatre as possible. And the great way that you've been able to document this is through your blog, Thrifty Theatre. So let me just ask you a little bit about how that came about. Was that mainly because you just wanted to keep a journal of stuff that you had seen and you wanted to express that through social media? How did Thrifty Theatre originate?
So, I started going to the theatre a lot when I worked in theatre, and I kept getting, people asked me all the time, how do you afford it? And people just kept saying it to me. And I said, oh, easy, day tickets, rush tickets, you know, because it was mainly, it started off with West End stuff. But then I kind of started to realise that actually, unless you live in London, rush tickets and day tickets aren't necessarily something you can do. So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll branch out a little bit. And then I started hearing more about things like the Young Vic and venues like the Southwark Playhouse. And you can go and see something there, which is still a musical, still amazing quality. And you maybe pay like maximum £20 or £10. Like, so I just really wanted to start to spread the word and the fact that you don't need to spend lots and lots of money to see theatre. It should be for everyone. It shouldn't just be for like people who have money. It should be for everyone's budget. So, okay, you may not have a very big budget. Well, then don't go and see £65 West End show or £150 sometimes West End show. You can go and see an amazing show at a smaller venue, which will be just as good. The quality will be just as good. It's just not West End. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of like, it was kind of also a journal of things I've seen, and I wanted to like share my knowledge with people and share what shows I'd seen. But it was because I just wanted to show people you don't have to have lots and lots of money to go to the theatre. It's not as highbrow as it once was. So that's kind of really where it started. And my friend at work said, why don't you start a blog? You see so much theatre. Why don't you start telling people what you're watching and how you get your tickets? I was like, oh yeah, I'll give it a go and see how it goes. And yeah, it's now become not very big, but a little bit bigger.
No, it is. And it's a really, I think it's really important that, you know, we do express that because, like you say, there is so much theatre going on in London, especially. And like you say, the smaller theatres that have, you know, only a limited run time, you know, could be putting on productions as good quality as those in bigger theatres. What would you say is the best or some of the best schemes that London Theatre has to offer? For me, I'm very big on the Royal Court currently at the moment. They've got their Young Court scheme for, I think it goes up until 25, 26, but I think you can then upgrade afterwards. And that is for £12 tickets and £15 tickets on usual like band B and C, I think it is. And also I'm quite big on the National Theatre. They have the entry pass, which is the £7.50 tickets. So those are two of the big ones for me. Which ones would you say for you are really vital for people to get involved in?
So the Southwark Playhouse do something called pay-as-you-go scheme. So you pay £60 up front and you get five shows. So normally a play or a musical at Southwark Playhouse is between £18 to £22 usually. Yep. But with the pay-as-you-go scheme, because it's £60 for five shows, you pay £12 per show instead of £18 or £22. And I love the Southwark Playhouse. So I will ease it, because it's you don't have a time frame as such. Like, it's, I think it's a year you have to use that. So five shows in a year at the Southwark Playhouse is very easy. And then the Young Vic do £10 tickets if you buy at the beginning of their season. So they normally put their season out, and you just get in the queue and you pay £10. I normally buy all of their shows. Normally, it's probably the only thing I do pre-book is them. So I normally buy all of their shows. And if you can't go for whatever reason, I think it's £1 to exchange a ticket. So, like, you know, if that happens and you just need to exchange your ticket, it's just £1. I love that scheme. There's a lot of places that do under 30s tickets. So I'm not under 25, so I can't get any under 25 tickets. So the Orange Tree Theatre do under 30s tickets for £15. You can also get things like, there's a couple of websites. One's called Mousetrap Projects.
Yeah.
They do an awful lot for, again, making sure that theatre's inclusive for everyone.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I went to go and see Lucia, which was the Cirque du Soleil performance at the Royal Albert Hall, not too long ago, actually. And that was, yeah, like you say, that was £15 I paid.
Wow, that's so good.
For the circle at the Royal Albert Hall. And around that area, you know, you're looking at like 50 plus, you know, pounds for a ticket. So, yeah, I also agree. Mousetrap Projects are very good.
Very good. And there's also one called Masterclass, who work with Theatrecraft.
Yeah.
Who did some work for earlier last year. Well, later on last year. So they, it's a similar scheme. They do under 30 tickets for about £15. They also do talks and workshops. So they do workshops for actors, workshops for technicians, workshops for sound. They do really amazing stuff, and it's all free or not very much money. So Masterclass is also another one I would definitely recommend.
Now what I want to ask about is press and marketing, and more in general, the Vault Festival that happened this year. Tell us a little bit about what your role at the Vault Festival was.
Oh, so I recently got into festival theatre when I went to the Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe last year. I absolutely loved it. And I just thought, oh my God, I love Fringe Theatre. I just love it. It's just so interesting. There's such new and exciting things. So I couldn't wait for the Vault Festival this year. I basically just reached out to them and said, can I come and do some stuff for you? And they said, sure. So the kind of what they wanted me to do, the main purpose was to, you know, find a show I want to see, watch the show, and then not necessarily review it as such, but talk about the show, talk about the venue, talk about what you can expect from the venue, and basically just do a bit of stuff for social media. So a lot of stuff that I do work with the companies is mainly for social media. So, I mean, again, easy for me. I can just go there, take some nice pictures because I love it. And none of it's forced and it's not hard work as such, because it's all interesting stuff that I just want everyone to know about. So it was a great festival. It was amazing. Me and you saw some amazing stuff there.
Yeah.
So it's just, the main kind of role for me being there is to talk about the shows and talk about the event, which is, again, very easy because I genuinely love it. So.
And during that festival, you got to interview a couple of the people there. And we should say that if anybody needs a very good podcast to listen to, Good Forsations is an amazing one, which I've only just recently started listening to. But this is Alexandra, who runs Good Forsations. Sarah, you were recently a guest on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about who you interviewed.
So we interviewed a lady called Katie Arnstein. So she did a trilogy of shows at the Vault Festival. So she did three shows in one day. It's called It's a Girl Trilogy. And me and Alex had a chat with her. So because I really like Fringe Theatre and Alex doesn't really watch Fringe Theatre at all, we decided to kind of collaborate on that. So I could introduce her into my world, because normally it's me going to hers and we watch West End stuff. So,
yeah,
so we interviewed Katie Arnstein and it was absolutely wonderful. And just hearing the story of her work and creating her work. And also the reality for a lot of actors is, you know, trying to find a way around things. So she said, well, I couldn't find an acting job myself. I couldn't find an acting job. There wasn't a job that was maybe suitable for me. So she made her own work. So it's amazing how she can create three shows, three whole shows, all in one day. So yeah, so we recently teamed up to do that, which was awesome. And I've been listening to Good For Stations for, I think, maybe a year, about a year, I think. I first started listening to her about a year ago. So I've been, you know, we kind of met through social media, and then now we've actually become really good friends, and we've spoken a lot since we've been in quarantine. So
yeah, Alexandra, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are to this episode, thank you so much. And I'm sure Sarah would also bring on that thanks as well.
Yeah, absolutely, always.
So that kind of leads us now to the present, I guess. So what I want to ask you is, what kind of advice would you give to listeners who are a little bit unsure? They want to be in this industry, but they're unsure about which kind of pathway to take. As you've had such an extensive career with so many different developments, what would you say would be the best advice for them?
I would say, don't be afraid to just email people. Like, just email people. And also, I think it's, don't be afraid to find out more from people. So a lot of the stuff that I've done, I've just learned from people. So I had no idea about PR. And then suddenly I got thrown into it through social media. And then I did an internship in it, because I just wasn't afraid to say, oh, you know that I've kind of been doing a bit of social media for you, can I now just come and work with you? And that's kind of how it went. So I would say, don't be afraid to just email people, just putting yourself out there. And I guess also to say that, like, because it is tricky, that middle ground between, are you backstage or are you on stage? Well, I'm neither. So don't force yourself into something you're not enjoying because you think that's the only way into the industry. Like, I didn't know, like, I thought, I can't do lighting. I have no idea. I haven't got those skills. I can't do sound. I don't want to be an actor. So what am I going to do? So I kind of forced myself into acting. I mean, I didn't do it professionally or anything like that. So, you know, uni and things like that. I really forced myself in, and then realized I just don't want to do this. It's not where my strengths lie at all. So I'd say, like, if you're really passionate about something but you don't think you fit, there is something where you can fit. You just have to find it. And it's taken me a good 10 years to find it, but I'm now in a place where I think, okay, I think I'm in a comfortable position. Sales, box office, PR, admin is good for me. I'm very happy in that position.
And you've done a great career out of it, so it's fantastic. Now, obviously, we'd be doing this podcast episode face to face in a venue of your choice that you find really special to you from your whole career. So where for you is your stagey place?
Oh, that's really hard to pick. I think I'd always say the Southwark Playhouse.
Would you? Are you excited for their redevelopment? Because obviously they're moving soon. Are you excited to see what they're bringing out?
I am and I'm not, because I love the Southwark Playhouse for what it is. I love that it's casual, it's comfortable, it's a great atmosphere, and the shows are just so good. But equally, I'm so kind of happy for them, and they have got this redevelopment, and it's good for them, it's going to make them expand. So I'm happy for them. And I do donate every single time I go in their little donate machine on the wall.
Yeah.
But equally, I love the atmosphere there. So I'm happy for them, but I don't know if I'm happy about the move. But I will be happy, I'm sure. I'm sure the work won't change. It'll just be the building.
And I'm just going to chuck it in there. What is then your number one production that you've seen at the Southwark Playhouse?
The Rink.
The Rink.
Without doubt, The Rink. It was the first show I watched at the Southwark Playhouse. I was recommended it from somebody, and the person who recommended it to me hated it and said, oh, I'm never going to see that again, absolutely hated it. And I thought, oh, I'm not looking forward to seeing it now. And oh my good Lord, it's without doubt one of the best things that I've seen in my life. It's one of my favorite musicals of all time, and I do like the cast recording that they have out and about, because Liza Minnelli is in the cast recording. However, it just be the show that I watch, you know, because it's what you watch, it's what you experience. So The Rink, I saw twice in the same week, but I saw it on its last week, so I didn't even get to see it more than that. If I'd seen it earlier on in the run, I would have seen it way more than twice.
Don't even get me started about seeing things in the final week of its run. For a lot of people who know me, and I know I've posted this on Twitter quite a lot, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was
wonderful.
the best thing that I've seen at the Summit Playhouse, and it was in the Little, and I saw it with Spike, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it was honestly one of those productions that you just come out of and you got tingles all over your body, and it was a phenomenal production, which just, it was a tearjerker, and it was amazing, and I'll keep talking about that show for years to come. I'm sure they'll develop it further.
But for now
I've only seen it once, but if it ever comes back, I will absolutely be seeing it more than once a week, I reckon.
I think there are a good handful of shows which you just can't, I mean, Come From Away is also,
yeah,
is my current fave, and I've seen it 4 times and I plan to see it way more.
I'm one up on you. That brings us to the end, really. So I want to thank Sarah so much for coming on today. It's been really lovely to chat to you and to get your insight into the industry.
It's been good. And our social distancing rules, I mean, it's nice to know that we are following them and we're doing this over Skype and not face to face. We promise we did follow the rules.
Yeah, we definitely did follow the rules. And over this duration, obviously, myself, Sarah and Tiff, who would have heard a couple of weeks ago, we've currently got our WhatsApp group going on, and we're going to be watching theatre probably quite a lot together in our social distancing areas, to keep up the theatre goodness that is going on currently around the COVID-19 and the lockdown around the UK.
Yeah, we will try our hardest to share everything that we can, but there's so much at the moment, it's actually quite hard to share.
Yeah.
But if you don't already know, we will try and share as much as we can of what we know you can live stream.
Yeah, and once again, you can follow Sarah on Thrifty Theatre on Instagram, and we'll make sure that we tag Thrifty Theatre in our Instagram posts, and you can go and check her out right now.
Bye!
And there we go. If you've enjoyed what you've heard in this episode, you can leave us a review on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, I hope you have a lovely week, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.